Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihadi Gopidana Vallava Gili Varadadi Gopidana Vallava Gili Varadadi Asuranandana Braja Janaranjana Yasodanandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tiravana Dadi Yamuna Tiravana Dadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihadi Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Gaura Nitaya, Jaya Gaura Nitaya, Jaya Gaura Nitaya, Jaya Gaura Nitaya. Jaya Radha Shyama Sundara Radha Shyama Sundara Radhe Jai Om Vishnupat Paramahang Saparavraja Kacharya Stutur Sutasisimat His Divine Grace Sila Ave Charanaravinda Sila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaja Sila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anand Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sisi Guru and Shiguranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Vishnu Badaya Gasmata Manavakyanta Swami Kyani. Namaste Sadhidevi Gauravani Vichani Nyasaja Swami Gaspadati Katani. So, Hare Krishna. From today onwards, I thought we could start a lecture series, you could say, on one specific subject matter. Yes, seeing Krishna's mercy behind everything, it's really a very, it's a seminar which has been given in many European countries, I really think it is very relevant, and it might help us a little bit if we try to go into a structured, let me say, analysis of one point in our philosophy. It might bring interesting things to the surface, and I do hope I can serve you by bringing these points into your, to your awareness. Can I maybe ask one devotee, maybe our organization devotee, everywhere we see these beautiful calendars where you change for every day the page, and then if you could find this calendar, it has all these nice pictures, mostly of Prabhupada and paintings, if you could bring me one, because there's a quotation which I'd like for you. Yes, yeah, this calendar which says May 18, and then it has a little. It's called Prabhupada Day by Day. Yeah, it has a little sentence and so on. You see them everywhere. You might find them in the. At home, how far is your home? Oh, 2 meters. It's a pleasant walk. Yes, thank you, Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We read this morning from the first canto, chapter 5, text 19. Navai jano jatu kathanchana vrajen. Navai jano jatu kathanchana vrajen. Mukunda sevi. Anyavat Anga Samsritim Mukunda Sevi Anyavat Anga Samsritim Smaran Mukundangri Upaguhanam Puna Smaran Mukundang Yupaguhanam Puna. Viatum Ichen Narasa Graho Jana. Viatum Ichen Narasa Graho Jana. Navai jano jatu kathan jana vrajen. Mukunda sevyanyavat anga sangsritim. Smaran mukundang grup paguhanam puna. Vihatumichen narasa graho jana. Yes, please chant. Thank you. Atatis, please. Sevyanya Vadanga Sansitim Saram Mukudang Yupagohana Puna Vihatami Chenaraso Gaho Jana Navai Janudatu Gatanchana Vrajen Mukunda Sevyanya Vadanga Sansritim Saram Mutungang Upagyuanam Buna Vihatam Iten Narasoga Na Never Why Certainly Janaham A person Jatu at any time Kanta Katanchana somehow or other Avrajet does not undergo Mukunda Sevi the devotee of the Lord Anyavat like others Anga O my dear, Sansritim, material existence, Smaran, remembering, Mukundangri, the lotus feet of the Lord, Upaguhanam, embracing, Punaha, again, Vihatum, willing to give up, ichet, desire, na, never, rasagraha, one who has relished the mellow, janaha, person, translation. My dear Vyasa, even though a devotee of Lord Krishna sometimes falls down somehow or other, he certainly does not undergo material existence like others, the fruitive workers, etc. Because a person who has once relished the taste of the lotus feet of the Lord can do nothing but remember that ecstasy again and again. Purport. A devotee of the Lord automatically becomes uninterested in the enchantment of material existence because he is rasagraha, or one who has tasted the sweetness of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. There are certainly many instances where devotees of the Lord have fallen down due to uncongenial association, just like fruitive workers who are always prone to degradation. But even though he falls down, a devotee is never to be considered the same as a fallen kami. A kami suffers the result of his own fruitive reactions, whereas a devotee is reformed by chastisement directed by the Lord himself. The sufferings of an orphan and the sufferings of a beloved child of a king are not one and the same. An orphan is really poor because he has no one to take care of him. But a beloved son of a rich man, although he appears to be on the same level as the orphan, is always under the vigilance of his capable father. A devotee of the Lord, due to wrong association, sometimes imitates the fruitive workers. The fruitive workers want to lord it over the material world. Similarly, a neophyte devotee foolishly thinks of accumulating some material power in exchange for devotional service. Such foolish devotees are sometimes put into difficulty by the Lord Himself. As a special favor, He may remove all material paraphernalia. By such action, the bewildered devotee is forsaken by all friends and relatives, and so he comes to his senses again by the mercy of the Lord and is set right to execute his devotional service. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is also said that such fallen devotees are given a chance to take birth in a family of highly qualified brahmanas or in a rich mercantile family. A devotee in such a position is not as fortunate as one who is chastised by the Lord and put into a position seemingly of helplessness. The devotee who becomes helpless by the will of the Lord is more fortunate than those who are born in good families. The fallen devotees born in a good family may forget the lotus feet of the Lord because they are less fortunate. But the devotee who is put into a forlorn condition is more fortunate because he swiftly returns to the lotus feet of the Lord, thinking himself helpless all around. Pure devotional service is so spiritually relishable that a devotee becomes automatically uninterested in material enjoyment. That is a sign of perfection in progressive devotional service. A pure devotee continuously remembers the lotus feet of Lord Krishna and does not forget him even for a moment, not even in exchange for all the opulence of the three worlds. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskajade Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. In this wonderful verse, we hear a very, very important point for our progressive advancement in Krishna consciousness. We hear how the Lord lovingly deals with His devotee. With his devotee, we should say, who is still on the way to Krishna, who is a Krishna Parayana, moving towards the Lord by his life's activities of devotional service and sadhan. The verse says, I would like to read it again. My dear Vyasa, even though a devotee of Lord Krishna sometimes falls down somehow or other, he certainly does not undergo material existence like others. Because a person who has once relished the taste of the lotus feet of the Lord can do nothing but remember that ecstasy again and again. The way Lord Krishna takes care of his devotees in this world is by giving them a taste which is called here, or which makes the devotees rasagraha. What is a rasagraha? A rasagraha is a devotee who has relished the mellows of devotional service. The rasa. Rasa is a certain taste which appears as you engage in a relationship with someone. So the devotee who starts his devotional service, where he serves Lord Krishna, remembers Lord Krishna, gets a rasa and becomes a rasagraha, someone who has tasted a certain pleasure in that relationship to Lord Krishna, which is so strong that it is more, let us say, more binding or more fascinating than anything he has tasted or can taste in this world. This is maybe also one of the different, let me say, attractive features of Krishna consciousness. Even though we as people who are in the process of forming a new culture in the Western culture, sometimes may not be so lucky to do everything right. In other words, we make many mistakes. Still, with everyone who once has tasted devotional service, there remains such a taste which just says, it's so encouraging. Let me have it again. Let me go again. This may explain our determined idealism in this movement. Although we may have seen that not everything went according to the way we idealized it as we joined the movement, still we think in our hearts of hearts, it's so good. It's such a good taste. Somehow it must work. It is our responsibility to somehow make it work. We have tasted a certain taste, and that taste, Prabhupada says, it's so sweet that a devotee who has once relished this can do nothing. He has no choice but remember that ecstasy again and again. Very nice. Krishna gives such a taste. It makes us, how do you say, go and search for it for a whole lifetime. We are wanting more and more, and we can actually not get enough of it. It is ever fresh. So this understanding forms a little bit the basis of our upcoming lecture seminars, which starts today. In the lecture seminar, we wish to really look deeply on a subject matter which Srila Prabhupada describes as the guideline for a devotee. A guideline is something which offers vision and perspective, even when the vision and perspective is not so obvious. But you have a guideline. As you follow the guideline, you keep your vision and perspective intact. With this guideline, you can also correct any mistakes which you do. I remember once I was traveling from Mumbai to Paris, and I was very dependent on arriving in Paris at the time the airline had promised, because there was a connecting flight in Paris to another town and needed to take it. So I remember we were flying was really something. We were flying, and the man next to me said, "We are of course." Of course, those of you who are not, I hope I speak it properly in English language. It does mean, of course, this is like this. Of course means you have gone astray from the course. This is how I wish to use this word. We are of course. Looked to him and was a little worried. Then after 10 minutes, he again looked to me and he said, again, of course. He had a measuring device, something like a compass with something else. Then he always kept coming back to me, telling me how we were of course. After some time, I began to become worried, and I asked him, "Sir, do you have any authority of saying this? I mean, how do you say it? On what strength do you say it?" Well, he says, I'm an air pilot. I know. I also steer airplanes." Then I said, "Will we ever arrive in Frankfurt? Paris. Will we ever arrive in Paris?" "Of course," he said. "But will we arrive in time? I'm totally worried by what you say, because I need to have a connection flight, and I need to do something important there. "Of course," he said. Then I asked him, "Could you please explain your conflicting statements?" And he said, "See, when you fly in high altitude, there are such strong winds blowing that they always shift the plane to another slightly off course, away from the right course. And that one of the major work of the pilot is to understand when he is pushed off course and to bring the airplane back to the proper course when he will arrive." So he said 90 to 95% the plane is off course when you fly. But it doesn't matter, because there is this correcting attitude of the airplane pilot there, which will bring the plane back to where it belongs, the right route." "Thank you very much," I said. "I may use your example in a lecture. Is that all right with you?" Then we started to talk about Krishna consciousness, because he became interested in my service and so on. Good. So a guideline is like this. It is something very important to have in life, because many times life's events push you slightly off course, slightly away from the best route to come to your goal. I think anyone who is an older devotee in our movement knows what I'm talking about. Very often the mind is what it is, full with material thoughts and so on. Very often the life runs in a totally unexpected way, we could say. But as long as you have a guideline, and you know what that guideline is, and you know how to apply the guideline, you will. It doesn't matter. Lord Krishna himself, in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, he uses a very interesting concept here, where he says it doesn't matter as long as you are on the right path. He says, "Apichet sudaracharo Vajate Mang Ananyabhak Sadhu Eva Samantavya whatever the devotee in the back said, this is how the verse ends. I'm sorry, I'm with my mind already with some other point. Although my devotee, says Lord Krishna, may be engaged, he even goes so far to use the word abominable activity, there's something really bad, as long as he must be considered a sadhu, a saint, because he is rightly situated. He's on the right path. He's of course on course, so to say. We want to say it like this. So we might now become highly inquisitive in our minds to find out, yes, what is the guideline which helps us, even when we are, due to being in the conditioned world, in the material world, and having a conditioned mind with the conditioned responses, even if we are slightly off course, which brings us back on course. What is, so to say, our guiding light? Our guiding light is a verse in the 10th canto, 14th chapter, verse 8, which we will chant tomorrow morning together. It is the Tatenu Kampam Shloka, and it translates into English. My dear Lord, actually before I say it, I want to really bring your inquisitiveness of this verse to the highlight so that you will enjoy really hearing it with full attention. I will, in other words, jump over the verse now to make a cliffhanger in my lecture, so that you tune in when the verse comes with your utmost attention. Here I will read from Prabhupada's purporting this verse. This statement of Srimad Bhagavatam, what it is we will hear in a minute, should be the guide of all devotees. Guide of all devotees. The verse is, my dear Lord, any person who is constantly awaiting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon him, and who goes on suffering the resultant actions of his past misdeeds, offering you respectful obeisances from the core of his heart, is surely eligible to become liberated, for it has become his rightful claim. Let us look at this verse a little bit more closer and identify four concepts which are in this verse. The first concept, or element is maybe a better word, is to earnestly hope for Krishna's mercy. That's the first thing which a devotee in this world should practice. The second verse, a second point or element, is to accept responsibility for what happens in our lives by understanding what happens as a reaction to our own initiatives or our own activities. The third point is a very beautiful point, to offer obeisances with heart, words, and body. And the fourth point is the result of this. That means one becomes actually qualified to go back home, back to Godhead. So we, in this lecture series, we will discuss why Lord Krishna puts his devotees sometimes through intense moments of suffering. We will look at examples from the Shastras to learn how devotees have learned by their seemingly mishaps, which are really disguised mercy. And we will look also at possible attitudes which we can all take on, then there is some mishap or suffering happening in our lives. Finally, and I hope we have enough time and enough attention span, we will give something which is like in the self-help literature. We will give learn some points how we can actually live this verse, how we can stay, so to say, on course by following the guide of the devotees, this shloka. You will be surprised and maybe delighted to hear that Srila Prabhupada has taken up this subject so often in his teachings that once you look at his books through the glasses of these understandings, you will see something else. It's almost like these children books, you know, when we open, there's a certain children book, you open it like this and all of a sudden a jungle comes out of the book. Or you can open it at another point and then a castle comes out of the book. I don't know if you have this in America, these types of books. They're very, very wonderful books. It's almost enchanting. So if you begin to look at this eyes, you will also see from the literature of Srila Prabhupada's books or reading how a very profound scenery, intellectual landscape opens to you, which helps you to live a very fulfilled and ecstatic life in Krishna consciousness. You enter in the books in a new thing, because it's so often here. For instance, in this verse, Prabhupada talks about a devotee who hasn't got it exactly right and who has gone off course, so to say, and he suffers because so he says about the devotee, the sufferings of an orphan and the sufferings of a beloved child, I should read from here. A kami suffers the result of his own fruitive reactions, whereas a devotee is reformed by chastisement directed by the Lord himself. The sufferings of an orphan and the sufferings of a beloved child of a king are not one and the same. An orphan is really poor because he has no one to take care of him, but a beloved son of a rich man, although he appears to be on the same level as the orphan, is always under the vigilance. Vigilance is to keep a strong eye on someone. That is of his capable father. So we will learn I will try my best to go into this, but we will learn to really see Krishna even behind suffering or mishaps in our lives or unexpected things which are bound to happen, by the way. You will be very delighted to hear that you practice bhakti in this world traditionally by following 64 angas. Anga is limbs of bhakti. These angas or limbs are practices through which we become Krishna consciousness by engaging in Krishna service, that which is of this world. For instance, it's an anga of devotional service to dance before the deities and clap in the hands. It's a practice, a certain practice which you do by engaging your body, your hands and your legs in this case, in the service of the Lord. Although this is seemingly material, the body and so on, by engaging it in Krishna's service, this becomes a means for Krishna realization. We could give another example which is very dear to us and which has captured some of our imaginations, the prasadam which we take. We take ordinary fruits from this world, prepare them nicely, and then offer them for the to the Lord. And by this process of engaging what is seemingly material, we make advancement very quickly. Yesterday we were in Gainesville and we saw this wonderful program where devotees, can you imagine, since so many years they are distributing prasadam, and now the university has made a magazine and in which they pursue the developments in the university since its beginning. They have written down, first Hare Krishna meal was served on the university campus in 1900 so-and-so. It was a major event, like maybe a university president who decided that yes, we will also teach comparative religion. I don't have such a good example at the top of my head, or who made important changes. So important event, the first plate of prasadam was served. And how nice of them, and how gracious of them to put a big picture of the devotees doing Harinam on the university campus. So, yes, the point here is, you become Krishna conscious, even if you're a student standing in line, just by this principle. Something of this world is taken and offered to the Lord and becomes spiritual. Because, what is here the deciding principle? The principle is that everything which becomes engaged or reestablished in its relationship to Krishna becomes spiritualized. This in this lecture series, we will look at suffering. Now, I'm totally aware that suffering carries a weight. The word carries a certain psychological weight, which when you hear it, go, oh, suffering. Oh. So we could, because we don't like the weight this word suffering carries in our life, just conveniently ignore it. There's no suffering in this word. But, my dear devotees, if you would do so, you would miss out on an important chance to engage something of the world, which is very realistic, in Krishna's service. Yes, you have properly heard. You can engage suffering in Krishna's service and make tremendous amount of advancement. It's not that you only can engage a mango in Krishna's service and make mango chutney from it and enjoy this. You can also take the seemingly dark side of this world, suffering, and engage it in Krishna's service and become spiritually advanced like anything. Now, often suffering is a reason to turn away from Krishna. Like Prabhupada, he had this German godbrother, Mr. Schulz. This is the most ordinary name in Germany, Mr. Schulz. His spiritual name is Sadananda. He told him how the German housewives prayed to God to bring back their husbands from the war front. But when the husbands were reported to be missing and then dead, they lost faith in God's abilities and mercy on them and turned their backs to the churches and became atheistic in mind. Often suffering does this also to a devotee in Krishna consciousness. Things are so heavy sometimes that one turns away and loses faith even. This has happened and happens daily to devotees. So let us not deny suffering, but understand Every morning we start our morning program with Samsaradhava. Now there it is. The fire, the avanala of samsara, of repeated birth and death. This is how we begin our morning. Samsaradhava nadalida loka. And then the mercy of the spiritual master comes and suffering is extinguished. We can look at suffering, and we also must look at mercy. Or Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Dukalayam Ashashvatam. This world is full of dukkha, misery, and Ashashvatam, temporary. There are, in Prabhupada's writings, someone looked it up, 3,077 references to suffering on Folio. Folio is that modern computer program where you can find all of Prabhupada's statements on your fingertips. You can't avoid suffering in this world. Although our American culture is presenting sometimes an image that by clever manipulation you can avoid suffering, it is not true. And I think we don't believe it any longer. The American culture and also Western culture is like a polished apple. As soon as you bite a little in it, it's rotten. And if you go a little deeper, you understand, well, this cover-up doesn't really stand. So let us use suffering and make it a thing in our lives which brings us to Krishna consciousness. Let us not ignore it like it is done because of the understandably heavy weight it carries. It goes against our grain. So yes, I will come to an end here because I have vowed to end on time because otherwise lectures, although they may have interesting points, become a little bit too long drawn out and we have other things to do. I would just like to again, give a little summary of what is what was said so far, is that the main principle of Krishna consciousness is to use everything of this world in Krishna's service, and by establishing a relationship with Krishna, the thing stops to be material but becomes something encouraging on our spiritual progress. So the guideline which Srila Prabhupada is here offering to us devotees, which is an important thing to have a guideline, is to use these mishaps as a way to transcend the mishaps and become fully situated in Krishna consciousness. Tomorrow we will deal with the question why Krishna puts his devotees sometimes through suffering, or if you like to have another word here, through tests. We will start there. Hare Krishna, thank you. Now we will see. It's 8:45, and I really believe we can stop today because the lecture today was pretty clear, and tomorrow I will have to end still earlier. Our questions can go tonight. Okay, so we open the forum for a few questions on the subject, please. Yes, Prabhuji. I couldn't acoustically understand you. Now, this evening we have a program which is a cultural program. We will show the journey to the world's most interesting, some of the it's to Mount Kailash in Tibet, the earthly home of Lord Shiva. So please all come. It is a, you will not believe your eyes and your ears. It is really something. Few devotees made a pilgrimage to Mountain Kailash with a deep spiritual concern, and they found treasures there which is just you have to see them and hear them. So it's a little advertisement also for this evening. Please do come at 7 o'clock. We start, I believe, right after Arati. Yes. So this was a technical question. Is that a content-oriented question? Yes, Lakshmi Moni. Lakshmi Moni, Radhana Maharaj said, the fully surrendered soul, 100%. Yes, Lakshmi Moni, please. Very good question. I will repeat the question. It seems our mentality when suffering arises in front of us is to somehow run away from it or circumnavigate suffering. Yet we understand it is the fire of ordeal is good to put us into shape. So how do we go against this instinctive or almost genealogical the conditioned response to suffering, which tells us to not go through it, but to run away from it? The reason why we run away from it is because we conditioned souls have a spirit of enjoyment. We want to enjoy. And suffering goes against it. Now, the way to heal it is to go to Krishna, to go to an understanding that by giving enjoyment to Lord Krishna, I even take up a project which is not so palatable, maybe. You all know there are very realistic challenges when you engage in devotional service. For instance, Sankirtan, you get a cold body in the winter. A marriage. There are real challenges on your maturity put before you when you deal with the otherness of the partner, the individuality of the partner. And you could run away from it, or you could say, well, let's go through it together. I'm aware I speak to a community with householders, and many unfortunately run away from it and just don't go through it together, and they miss a chance to mature in their life sometimes. What other examples are there? It would be nice to make a workshop, and I request you to write down when you have learned something or remember a moment in your life where you went through something and learned a lot. So the thing is, your school is a good example. Yes. The point really is we must see more. This is one answer to your question. We must learn to see in Krishna's enjoyment. And before this paradigm, that, okay, it's not necessary that I totally enjoy, but it is necessary that Krishna enjoys, that we please Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. Before this comes another paradigm which you have to learn. You have to learn to become Shreyas-oriented in your life and not so Prayas-oriented. Shreyas-oriented means the vision of a Saralata devotee, a devotee who sees the essence of his life clearly before him or herself, and who knows sometimes it will take a sacrifice to reach what is on the long term beneficial to me. Shreyas means what is beneficial in the long term, and prayas means what is beneficial in the short term. For instance, to go in the evening when you're so tired to brush your teeth is beneficial in the long term. You don't have to go to the dentist, although you really may not, I want to sleep, I want to sleep, I want to sleep. And prayers oriented would be, let me skip the toothbrushing, just sleep like a log of wood in my bed. So this is very common for devotees, this understanding to orient our lives in the Shreyas way, not in the Prayas way. We have to learn. And the earlier we learn it, the more fulfilled our lives will be. When we just always go in the Prayas, what I like now. Our senses are deceiving us very often. They tell us something is good, which is really only Maya. It is not God. So yes. And to answer your question in brief, to heal this response to always run away from something which is a little tough, in order to heal it, the first step I would say is to understand in your life how, if you accept Shreyas, it's better than if you accept the prayers paradigm. That is, if you accept what is on the long-term beneficial, you can deal really what is not so pleasant at the first moment. And the second is, try to give enjoyment to, learn to give enjoyment to Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. And it's nice. Very much like yesterday, our Nam Yagya evening, where in the beginning we said, this evening is not for your enjoyment. Devotees went like, what? I came for that. No, it is for Krishna's enjoyment. Now, please, when you drift off in your mind, don't continue to drift off. Pull your mind back and glorify Lord Krishna. Give your best. And if we do this, we know the atmosphere is just fantastic in the end. And it's just wonderful. It's totally different than one of these passionate dance parties called Kirtan. Hare Krishna. That's something which is a little... I'm sorry, I did not think that maybe it... I have heard someone, I didn't mean this, but Hare Krishna. Good. Fine. So now we will end. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaur Nitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.